Colorado is home to 2 AVAs and over 150 wineries,
330 craft breweries,
over 100 distilleries,
21 cider makers, and a handful of meaderies.
We grow grapes, make wine, distill whiskey, rum, vodka, gin, and everything in between.
And we brew. We brew like nobody's business, and we want to share that with you.
Welcome to W25 Loco.
We are actually launching our first edition of Wine25 Loco Edition, the local meaning local Colorado. And we are honored to have in our first episode Paul Bonacquisti of Bonacquisti Winery and Chacha Chavez. And you actually both have a podcast about Denver wine, which I didn't even know before I came up, and I thought I did my homework. Shame on me.
We launched a show earlier this year called Denver Wine Radio.
Denver Wine Radio.
Yeah, so I recruited my friend Cha-Cha, who has never drank wine, and you're perfect, and off we go.
Excellent.
To discover Colorado wine.
Well, since you mentioned Colorado wine, and I haven't mentioned Steph's here, she's sitting quietly.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, so if Valerie just starts talking without any mind to going around the table here, but what Steph did bring to my attention is we have a listener and a former guest who's a wine writer, and his name is Jeremy Parzen.
Yep.
But he asks, with a burning wine question, what's the latest in Colorado wine? What's the newest, latest thing? So we thought maybe you guys could start, since you're with Denver Wine Radio, give us some perspective on what we should know first about Colorado wine, and then we'll dive into Bonacquisti.
Well, Colorado wine is growing. I don't want to say like crazy, but it's just been on a steady incline, especially since I got into the wine business here in Colorado, which was 12 years ago. So when I started, there was about 60, I think I was number 63 or 64 winery in Colorado, and now there's close to 150.
Wow.
So, we're not like the breweries, we didn't go that crazy, but it's been on a steady incline.
Yeah, that's so cool. And it's nice that Jeremy asked this question, because he's in Houston and he's going, hey, what's going on in Colorado? And we know that other listeners are also going, what is going on in Colorado? And should we buy those wines? Should we know what's, where the grapes are grown there? And yes, you should. That's why we've got this new thing that we're doing with the Loco. And we also want to know, so you've got an urban winery. We've heard it was the first urban winery in Denver. And what does that really mean to wine lovers and drinkers in Denver?
Well, I opened the doors here in 2006. So, and at that time, there really wasn't an urban winery within the city and county of Denver. There's other wineries, obviously, before me. But I don't go around waving the flag, hey, I was the first. But because actually in the mid-90s, there was an urban winery that launched downtown called Columbine Cellars, and they were over on 24th and Blake, which is right in the heart of Lodo. And for whatever reason, Denver probably wasn't ready for, urban wine in the 90s. So, it didn't make it. So, but I had never seen anything around up until the point where I opened up.
I wonder what the growth of Denver and the ballpark and everything that has expanded in that direction, if now it would be a different kind of thing.
Yeah, because you think about it, that mid-90s, that's when Coors Field opened, was 95.
Yeah, and up until that point, you wouldn't even go north of 20th.
Yeah, that's right.
if you valued your life. So, but now it's a whole different thing. So it's like, it would be like, I wonder what it would be doing now.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So what did you start with in terms of grapes and wine styles, and what is it now that's your thing? What is it that sustained you in terms of the kind of wine you make, or what is it that you've had to change over the years?
When I opened, I had, I had this idea of, because I had made wine at home. I grew up making wine. I learned from my dad, passed on from my grandfather, who came from Italy, was a coal miner here in the southern end of the state in Trinidad, Colorado. So that's how that winemaking thing got into my family. And so I had these styles of wine that my dad and I had been making at home. And so that's what I brought to the table here. And then, from there, kind of tweaked my winemaking style and to fit what my customers want and what they want to drink. Although I've kept everything, the names have stayed the same, which I have a wine named after my son Vincent. It's called Vinny No Neck, which is an Italian style red. We make it with Sangiovese. And, you know, I named one after my daughter, Marisa. Her label's called Bellarisa, and it's Pinot Grigio. So those have been our, you know, tried and true. They're perennial favorites here at the, for my customers at the winery. And I'm just, you know, thankful people enjoy them.
And Sangiovese seems to be your thing right now.
Yeah, it is. I, you know, it's a grape that not necessarily is the best suited for Colorado. Over the years, when I first opened, I couldn't find Sangiovese in Colorado. There was some planted and growing, but a few other wineries were buying it all up. So I started sourcing my Sangio from California, and which is what Vinny No Neck, the label, is made from California grapes. But then 2 years ago, I found a grower who has a 4-acre Sangiovese vineyard in Palisade here in Colorado. And so I started working with him, and now I'm able to, this is the first, this year's vintage. I got a small amount in 2016. Last year, I got a little bit more. And then I've been working with them to really improve the vineyard, and we have a large amount. I was able to make rosé this year, in fact, yesterday. And so, yeah, it's one of my favorite grapes, you know, I, obviously, with my Italian heritage, but I just love the versatility of that wine.
Is it one of the favorites of your customers, too?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, the Vinny label brings it home.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of their favorites. So.
And what appeals the most to customers about Buonacquisti?
I think that we're really tied into the community. So we're here on, you know, we're here in North Denver, which for a lot of us who grew up going back, we called it the North Side. Although the neighborhoods are defined by Sunnyside, Highland, and others, but we've become a place for the neighborhood to come in and experience wine and the artwork that we feature here at the winery, and also our live music that we do weekly on Friday nights. It's an experience.
Yeah.
It's definitely an experience. So it wasn't what I was, you know, 12 years ago when I opened the doors, it wasn't what I was thinking exactly. And I had a really broad brush I was painting with, trying to get wine out there to everywhere I thought I could. And now we've scaled it all back, and we're serving the neighborhood, and I'm really happy about it.
I like that.
We're serving the neighborhood. So
yeah.
Is there anything that you're doing outside of Colorado? Are you trying to expand your reach, or you're just here for Colorado?
Yeah. As far as getting the wine out there, yeah, I just focus on Colorado and specifically the neighborhood. So, but like I said, we do bring in grapes from California. I started importing wine from Italy almost 4 years ago now. So I work with a small co-op winery in Piedmont. We've brought in Barbera and Dolcetto, and I just brought in Albarossa, and we've brought in Cortese, and so
wow.
And these are all you know, I bring these in bulk, and I bottle them under my label because legally that's how it has to be done here. But it's been a wonderful way to expose my customers to different styles of wine and not just, you know, the same old thing.
Yeah. So. Well, and I appreciate, too, on the podcast that the two of you are doing together, that you're what we say edutaining. You know, you're educating and entertaining people and talking about different wines from all over the world. Like even in your box wine episode when mm-hmm. you're, you know, tasting Portuguese wine and things. I think that's important because it just gets people learn, have fun, and want to come back again.
Exactly.
And what keeps bringing you back, Chacha?
Well, you know, as you've heard on the on our show, the last time I had really had experiences with wine was probably 1977 Boone's Farm Tickle Pink. Right on.
That was my high school wine.
There you go. See, we're on the same page. But, you know, I just never drank. I just never liked it. And then Paulie started the show, and Paul and I worked together, you know, in radio back in the day. And so, you know, I said, what the heck? I'm going to learn. And I have. And it's been so interesting. It's just like you were saying, who knew? To me, a grape is a grape. You either put it in wine or you smash it up for grape jelly. I mean, that's to me the extent, and it's been fascinating. It really truly has. Even the box wine that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Remember the wine in the cans? that we
those
were awesome too. So it's been a great experience, and not only to learn about the wines, but you know, like Polly was talking about, like in Palisades, where it comes from, you know, the soil, that you know, the flavors, all that kind of stuff. So it's been great. I love it.
It's been fun. It's great to have Chaw along tasting all these wines with me too. But what's exciting is more things are happening in Colorado. So there's more wineries starting to can wine. And then the box wine show, Kingman started boxing wine last year, which is phenomenal.
And right. I think and you've got growlers that you offer too, right?
I do. Yeah. We've done keg wine. We started doing keg wine, almost 8 years ago now. It's hard to believe, but, so with that, we launched our growler program. It's been fun with the tie. That's that local piece tie, I like. Yeah. Is just people coming in to fill up from the tap, taking the mystique out of wine, because when you take a growler home, there's no way that you can act snobby about that wine, no matter what's in it. So
right.
Just to touch on the cultural aspect of it too, because that's one of the things that Steph and I find very interesting, and not in just the people we've met. I was in here, 7 years ago because of wine, because of the need to learn. And that was where I first met you and brought some of you. You had Zinfandel back then, I think, that I brought home, I think is what made. Yeah. But the culture. So you mentioned the jug wine and you mentioned the tap. Well, in Italy, that's what you do. You take your bottle, and if you don't have one, they'll sell you one. And then you go to what they call a fiaschetteria, or depending on where in Italy you are. And, you know, you taste the different wines on tap. You fill up your bottle for a euro or two, and you take your bottle back to your apartment and you eat it with prosciutto and panino and pecorino and you're happy.
Exactly.
And you've tapped, pun intended, you've tapped in on that.
Thank you. That was exactly. That was the whole intention, is to take the wine home and drink it and with dinner and friends and family and then come back and refill it.
Yeah.
And try something new.
Yeah. So how can listeners worldwide find you on the social spaces and on the interwebs? How do we connect with you?
Well, you can connect with our podcast at denverwineradio.com, and also search that. We're on Facebook, and where else are we, Chaw?
We're on
Instagram. And then the winery you can find at bonacquistiwine.com.
And you're on Twitter too, right, Paul?
Yes. Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Denver Wine.
Yes. At Denver Wine is the winery's handle on Twitter.
Cool.
Well, I think this is a great way to start a Wednesday morning. Let's taste some wine. No, I'm kidding. Thank you, guys.
Come on, it's hump day.
I know,
right? Yeah. Well, we did choose some Graciano grapes downstairs.
Yeah, we did.
So they're getting ready to go into the vats, it looks like. So
yeah, they're getting, well, actually, they we just crushed on Monday, so we've been doing a cold soak for a couple of days, and I'll pitch some yeast this morning, and then off we go.
That's I think we exciting. Should take off our shoes and do a Lucy and Ethel moment.
Yeah.
Well, if we didn't have somewhere else to be, we would be down with that.
We would. Well, right. Thank you so much, you guys.
It was
just fun.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you for checking out this episode of W25 Loco.
For more W25 edutainment and information about our main show, go to wine25.com.
Every week features a fresh, fun, and educational episode with interviews, guests, and topics from around the world of wine.
That's wine, TWOFIVE.com.